Hi, and welcome to another off-protocol conversation where we talk with the people who are building a better open web. So I feel like trust and safety is one of those simultaneously completely overlooked and vitally important parts of building any kind of social application. And so much of what I would identify as wrong with today's internet starts with this refusal to take trust and safety with any kind of seriousness. So today's conversation is with Juliette Shen, who is the head of product at Roost, which builds robust, open, online safety tools. And they're an organization that is committed to not just building really deeply serious safety tools, but making them available to everyone. And it's a vital mission that they have just released version 1.0 of Coop, which is their open source review and moderation platform. So the trust and safety tools that Roost builds, they're not actually at proto specific. Anyone can use them, but they are heavily used within the ecosystem, including right here at Blue Sky. And I think a lot of what makes Roost so compelling is that they're building these really first-class tools in a way that scales from the smallest teams. You might be a one-person shop that is just getting started, all the way up to the biggest online platform. Around. Today's conversation is hosted by my colleague Alex, who you all know from our live streams. And Alex has actually really gone deep on the Roost tools. And he's written a bunch of guides for atproto.com, and we've got more on the way. I personally got a lot out of his conversation with Juliette, and I hope you do too.
We're super excited about Coop 1.0. We're super excited to talk to you and feature your work here. And so let's just take it from the top. It's great to talk to you today. Congratulations on 1.0.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a true collaborative effort. Like, the community came through and we managed to pull off what I think is a pretty amazing 1.0.
Yeah, I was following pretty closely back around our conference, and then I kind of just lost track of stuff between all my travel I was doing in April and May. And I was like, when are they going to hit 1.0 after all? And it turns out it was this week, which is really, really great. I know our audience knows you as the head of product at Roost, and I know how excited you personally are about open online safety tools. Can you tell us a little bit about why this is such a great time to be doing this work? Like, what is cool about June 2026? What is the momentum that you have at Roost?
Yeah, I think it's like we're in such a time where everyone is building something. I think like more people, just because there's more tools, there's more technology available, like more people are building things than ever before. You know, I've definitely been tinkering on a few side projects of my own. And I think, you know, as these new exciting projects come into being, they all need safety tools because we all want to protect our users. We want people to experience the amazing experience that we have kind of like designed and charted out for them. And ideally, they don't encounter anything that makes them hate the internet.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. There's also obviously a bunch of mandates coming into place that we want to be able to contest. Like, we want to be able to be there with the larger and better funded social networks, most of whom just blow past these mandates because they expect to be given a grace period. And oftentimes smaller players who have to actually abide by the letter of the law, whether or not they're in favor of or opposed to these policies coming in, like, we need something to just actually get from the policy stage to the implementation stage, right? And I think that's why what you're doing is so exciting for us.
Yeah, you know, I think it was my co-founder, Camille Francois, who says that, you know, policy without tools is just poetry. You know, we just want to give people more options so that way, you know, they can make their own version of our tools, you know, do whatever they need to make the users on their community feel protected and feel safe and feel free to express themselves. And the more that we can kind of make these tools easier to build on and just like easier to deploy, the better.
I did know some public servants in Canada who would have rather been poets. So I think there is something to that, just sort of like, you know, where your mindset goes. But it's true. It's nice to be able to set policy. Like, that is very valuable if you can just close the loop on it.
It helps people who make policy as well, because like until Roost came along, like to my knowledge, there were no moderation or safety tools that were open source or just like public. So if you don't understand how platforms are able to do things, I think that limits the amount of kind of like, you know, robust policy that people can make as well.
Yeah, I'm always wearing my commercial open source hat and being like, all right, what part of this is like ready for folks to run? And like, where is the mindshare aspect of like, yes, our platform is open source versus this is the part that's really hard to do that pays the bills that we know is not trivial for somebody else to do, right? And those incentives are sometimes healthy and sometimes incidental and sometimes not so healthy, right? Or like the classical commercial open source story is like, hey, you can run this, but it's kind of hard to host, so be wary, right? And that's often the case with like DevOpsy stuff, where it's like, you can run our stack, but not at scale. For moderation, for trust and safety policies, being able to actually say, like, we're encoding our policies in an open and reusable way. Like, that is not the part that belongs in a private repo suddenly. Like, that's really, really cool.
Yeah, and I think that's where we've seen the community come through. You know, I think, like, we see ourselves as, like, tools for your rules. And so we've seen some really cool groups and, like, even individuals and, like, civil society groups. Like, we got Christchurch Call Foundation offering up policies on how to handle terrorism, violent extremism content. And I think that's where the policies need to come from, is, like, people who are actually operating platforms or people who have this domain expertise who can say, hey, you know, like, if you're going to use Roost tools, here's a bunch of policies that we think work really well with it.
Yeah, it's really nice to create more avenues for actually meaningfully contributing. That's also like a constant problem in open source, where it's like, we'd love to have your contributions, but unfortunately, Surface A, B, C, 3D, you know, none of these are easy things to contribute to. And therefore, it winds up being a case of like, we want to not block each other, but like, how do we actually make this constructive and how do we move fast together? So any new ways of doing that where you can genuinely create space for contributions that are mutually beneficial, it like touches my heart.
Yeah, and it's been fun too, because it's like, you know, I think trust and safety is such a cross-disciplinary space. You know, I'm a sociologist. I study political economics and sociology. And like, yeah, I'm in a tech role now, but I think I've worked with so many people in the anti-abuse safety space who, you know, like their strength is writing policy. And that's also something that they can contribute. And I think we want to make it easy for like anyone to contribute anything, because like every piece makes it a little bit better.
Yeah, I was at universities for a while and trying to figure out like where the real avenues for working with tech have like changed so much in the last decade. Like, I don't even want to get into it, because it's like good faith and not so good faith and who has some money and, you know, but it's just, it's nice to really be doing the work as you feel like it can move forward right now, which gets me to my next question. What's on your roadmap now that you're at 1.0? Like, what are the next few weeks and months look like for Coop?
Well, I think late last night, Cassidy helped cut the 1.0.1 release, which is a bunch of fixes that we found immediately after releasing. But, you know, our roadmap is public. We've got some big ideas that we want to go for. And actually, you know, one of the open discussions that's happening in the Coop project right now is we actually got this amazing set of PRs introducing this agentic framework on like, how can you kind of like use agents for safety and use Coop as that kind of like hub. So I think that's something where like, I want to get more perspectives on like, you know, is this something that would be really helpful? You know, like, does it belong in Coop? Does it belong in a side repo? Like, what is the future of sidecars for Coop look like? And I think that's definitely one direction, because I think like, you know, everyone's always thinking about like, oh, like, how can AI actually be used in safety, at least in the trust and safety spaces? And we wrote a blog post about this. I think, you know, human judgment is always going to be necessary. It's always the most important part. It's what makes trust and safety trust and safety. But also AI is a tool, and we can use these tools to help people, especially when this kind of work is difficult. So really excited for that. Really excited to just like continue building more things. I, after years of, you know, witnessing QA processes done by safety and moderation teams, I am committed to building in-tool QA into Coop. And we also want to build in like kind of like an Easter egg kind of game, kind of like a like Tetris style, but not Tetris for copyright reasons, but Tetris style game, where it's like, you know, we know that playing little games like that actually can help reduce the kind of like mental health impact of doing content moderation. So building that directly into the tool, I think I want it to just pop out and like people can just like immediately spend like, you know, 5 minutes playing this game and just reset their brain a little bit and then go back to some of the work or take a break entirely.
Nice. There's a few things there that I want to touch on, actually. The first of them is the AI piece. So there's about three different talks with variations I've been giving on behalf of Blue Sky at conferences throughout this year. You know, one of them is about my role as a docs person, because I love docs and that aspect of DevRel. One is more about the atmosphere and the ecosystem more broadly and how we're trying to juice developers and help them bootstrap on their social network that already exists in Blue Sky. The third one is more AI-centric, and it's actually articulating a positive vision for how we use AI in development and with Osprey, which is Roost's other platform that is very effective for writing automatic moderation tools, and how we use that in tandem with Ozone, which is the moderation interface that our human moderators actually look at all day long when they're taking actions. And I think that together, there's a really powerful narrative here for, you know, the AI is not actually making decisions about who should get banned or anything like that, right? Like, the AI is not in charge of making content decisions, but for smaller shops to be able to scale, for us even to be able to bootstrap to the point that we got to, that would have been impossible without having an auto mod layer supplementing the human work. And it also helps take off a lot of the burden and the exhaustion that's really, like, well characterized and like very widely described by human moderators. And so I think there's a real positive vision there in terms of, you know, use AI for this, not for that. Use AI for this for this reason. Here's where you can actually demonstrate gains in this space. And so I don't get tired of articulating that vision. I think it's really important to be able to draw lines that people can see and appreciate there.
Yeah, totally. You know, I really think that, like, it can be so helpful, especially if you're a small team, especially if you're just, like, resource strapped. Like, I think it's really good at, you know, AI is fantastic at analyzing large amounts of data. If you're doing any kind of analyst work, investigation work, trying to figure out, like, the scale of a campaign, you know, you can use it as just pure auto mod, but you can also use it just, like, kind of, like, track some stuff and try to figure out, like, there's something going on. We're not quite sure what it is yet, but Osprey can actually help kind of, like, identify those patterns. So actually, our next release is going to be coming out in July, which is going to be the next major Osprey release. And we're also excited because I think that there's going to be some introduction of some AI-powered features in there that make it easier to write queries. Because, yeah, I had to learn how to write SML to use Osprey, and it took a second. And wouldn't it be nice to just, like, ask maybe, like, an LLM and be like, hey, find me all the accounts that have this specific pattern. And then it can do that analysis. And again, just provide recommendations or just information and context for people to make the ultimate decisions.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised there hasn't been an FML markup language yet. One of us should make one just for kicks. I have some other notes of mine that I wrote down this morning while I was actually running Coop myself. I deployed 1.0. I wanted to check it out and kick the tires a bit. And I was reading your release announcements. So do you mind if I go through, like, some of my hits right here? Awesome. So first of all, I am so excited that you got the memory footprint down to, like, 8 gigabytes. I think that I was really annoying about that. I know, like, pre-release, I was like,
no, but we needed that. We needed to hear that. Like, that was a huge, like, citation for us to be like, we need to get this memory footprint down.
Yeah. No, but, like, I was like, all right, I want everyone to know, like, this is your starting point for most people getting started with moderation, and it takes 20 gigs of memory. What? And I was like, so way to go on that. I was reading all about your release notes, like, how you pruned out dependencies, and, like, this actually feels doable. That's, like, $10 a month on OVH now. That is a big achievement. That means devs can run locally on their own machines for the most part, and they can afford to add a production instance to their stack without really, like, breaking the bank. Like, that is a really, really, especially with memory prices being what they are right now, like, that is a really important audience to capture. Just brand new bootstrappers, new social experience. I think I've told you that, like, whenever people come to us and say, we want integration in Blue Sky, the app, and we're like, hey, that's great. We're happy to do that. We don't want everything to be about Blue Sky, the app. We care about the ecosystem, but, like, we understand visibility is really important. The thing is, though, you have to have a moderation system in place for it to be in front of all these people all of a sudden. What's your moderation solution? And consistently, people who are working with the existing Blue Sky lexicons, like follow relationships posts, they're like, oh, we're just depending on your moderation because we moderate those lexicons. But if they're producing their own, like standard site, leaflet, whatever, any other kind of data, they're like, yeah, we haven't done that. Which is fair enough, right? Because if you're just brand new project, like, we make it really easy. We're proud of how easy we make it to bootstrap all these new data types and modalities, but you don't get to moderation first thing as a two-person team. You just don't. And now that Coop is, like, deployable in a pretty small footprint, I feel like that's really clearing the way for that to happen.
Yeah, and that was our goal from the beginning. It's like, we knew that it was just, you know, when we first dropped the source code, it wasn't designed for this kind of use case. You know, Coop started off as, like, a startup source code that we then acquired, and we have been refactoring ever since. We are going to make Scylla optional as well. We should also make it a lot easier to deploy, just require fewer resources to get things up and running.
Because tie in with the Odyssey movie. Like, Scylla is now optional, right? Like, that's that would be awesome. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Get like Matt Damon just steering around it, being like, Scylla's optional. You can use that.
I'm definitely doing that, actually.
Sorry, I jumped in there.
No, I love it. But yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, a one-person startup, two-person startup. It's like, yeah, like, we want to make this super easy to deploy. And we've gotten some nice validation. Like, we know Kyoto is running this at like less than $200 a month. They've got like millions of messages going across. And like, you know, I think it's a nice demonstration. We get such direct feedback too. That's like, we're a small team. We can move pretty quickly. And like, yeah, we're going to try to fix all the bugs that people raise and add in all the features people want and still try to keep that memory footprint super small.
Yeah. So you actually also just got into my next point, which is messages coming across Coop. So I looked at your docs. I've got my demo instance. Everything works super great for the deployment. And like, that's very exciting to me. The out-of-the-box experience is really well. The documentation is really comprehensive, and I can tell how it works, with one quasi-exception that you probably know I'm getting to, which is, what do we do to make it easier to actually send messages to Coop and to like wire that into a moderation workflow? It's like, you have everything in Coop. You have all these connectors to different third-party services that you can use to actually process content once it's in Coop to do TNS checks. You've got your submit items API well-documented. It's like, post content here. That is how the items get into Coop. But there's not right now like an end-to-end tutorial for actually sending anything into that API that I'm aware of. There's no out-of-the-box where it's like, here's how Coop gets some data populated from one of these sources that you might want to use it with. That to me seems like a pretty exciting thing to work on next.
Oh, yes. And I feel like Cassidy's ears are going to be burning because this is something we've talked about a lot. You know, I think we know that like, this is like that last missing piece of our documentation, our deployment guide of like, how do we make it all fit together in a really easily understandable way? Because yeah, we've got the submit items endpoint, we've got the submit reports endpoint, items goes to automated enforcement, reports goes to manual review. And you know, we want to make it really, really, really easy to see and to experience what that process looks like of like getting data into Coop.
Yeah. I mean, for the app proto use case, obviously, which just speaking for myself, you know, like I think ego aside, it seems like a pretty compelling one. We would want to build out like a round trip even, right? So you've got like a fire hose consumer that goes into Coop and you've got some data filtering and scaling there, I assume. That's one part that's still a question mark to me, is like, you probably don't want to post the entire fire hose directly into Coop. So there's a middleware piece in there somewhere. And then Coop in turn would be able to just emit labels, right? It would be wired up to a labeler that runs on the app proto network. Like, I can see how it works end to end. And I think especially for non-blue sky lexicons, which are the ones we're talking about, who'd be starting out on their moderation journey pretty green field, like, you don't need as much middleware filtering. You can just kind of send everything from the fire hose that matches a certain lexicon directly in there. And I'm assuming, you know, Coop is pretty good at just like no action, no action, no action, no action until it wants to flag something. So probably you can scale pretty effectively out of the box like that. We've just got to build out the end-to-end example of what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't have put it better.
Awesome. Well, I mean, that sounds like a pretty exciting thing to work together on too. Like, I was mentally holding some space this summer for like, let's see when Coop gets to 1.0, because I want to make sure that we can ship like a little integration or a small tutorial. And I am newly excited to do just that. So I think I'll follow up with you probably next week or the week after when I have a minute to see if we can build something like that.
Yes, please. And I also say, you know, like, I use the app protocol for any demos because public social media posts like make it super easy to demonstrate all the functionalities of Coop. So I do have a branch right now. I connected it to tap instead of Jetstream or the direct fire hose. So there's some rewiring needed. But it's, you know, I would love to work together on this. I think this would be such a fun summer project. And, you know, I think it is blue sky summer of shipping. So let's do it.
It is the atmosphere. And we have coming very soon later on this summer, I can a sneak preview, Jetstream V2, which is going to offer a lot better server-side slicing. So exactly for the use case of like, I only want to get these lexicons out into a different stack. So I'm not just sending data everywhere and having to add filtering. That'll be a part of Jetstream, hopefully by the end of June.
Oh, that's awesome. I can't wait for that. Yeah, I'm really excited to work with like everyone in the atmosphere and just figure out like who wants to be part of this journey. And we can do an example. We can figure out a pilot together. We're here to help out with, you know, integrating and, you know, answering questions and everything too.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming out.